Good morning and welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we're going to be focusing on Yechezkel, Perek Hey, the fifth chapter of Sefer Yechezkel. And this is a short perek of 17 psukim, which deals with the last of the four demonstrations Yechezkel is making. Yechezkel is actually doing these very strange actions which represent certain aspects of the upcoming destruction which is about to witness. Again, Yechezkel is in Babel. He's already in exile in the first wave of exile under Yechoniah, the king of King Yechoniah. Right now in Israel, there is the last bastion of leadership under Tzidkiyahu HaMelech, but it is doomed to fail. We are witnessing the last 6, 7 years right now, and this is his last demonstration prophecy. So we've seen him make a brick inscribed with Yerushalayim, which he sort of made a fake or play siege around. We've seen him lying on his left side for 390 days and 40 days on his right side. And we also saw at the end of yesterday eating the Ezekiel's bread, eating this terrible bread while in that state. Now, at the end of this, it sounds like after these days are finished, he is told the following. He's supposed to take a sharp sword and use it as a razor to remove all his hair, the hair on his head, the hair on his beard. All the hair on his body is told to be removed, and he's going to weigh it and divide it into three groups. So all his hair is going to be divided up. And the first third of it is going to be burnt in the city, and for the amount of time of the days of the siege. The second third is going to be cut up by swords around the city, and the third third is going to be blown into the wind and spread, and the sword will follow them. And then he points out that there will be a little bit left, that's going to be a little bit left in the knofecho, sort of like in the eaves, which will be remaining, and you'll throw that into fire, and from that the fire will to go to all of Israel. Very scary prophecy. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes on to sort of explain a little bit more of the background over here, and Hashem now lays blame. In the next few Pesukim, that was for Pasuk Aleph to Dalet, and Pasuk Hey to Tes sets up the general indictment against Israel, where Hashem says the reason this is all happening to Yerushalayim, that Israel's being sort of made hefker, made ownerless in front of all the nations, is because Vatomer es mishpatei lirishah, you switched my system, my code of morality, for evilness min hagoyim v'schukosai uvin haaretzos asher sivosel. You preferred the systems of government, you preferred the systems of morality of the people around you, and because you despised my system of judgment, that's why Lachain Komarashim, that's what I'm going to do to all this to you. I'm going to bring everybody into you, and the nations who don't listen to my statutes, to my laws, are going to be the ones who are actually going to take you and going to bring you out of your city because of your disgusting nature. And then in the last section of this Perek, which is Yud to Yud Zayin, where he sort of gives the Nimshal, the explanation of this whole hair business. And he explains that there's going to be a period of time which is coming in Yerushalayim where the fathers will eat their children in Yerushalayim and the children will eat their fathers. There's going to be this terrible famine. There's going to be a reckoning for all the bad things that Israel did. And there's going to be various stages of destruction. A number of people will die because of pestilence, because of famine. Then a third of them will be killed because of under the sword. A third of them will be thrown into the wind, and the sword will come after them. So the Nimshal is actually very close to the Moshal. In the Moshal, the metaphor is the hair that was happening to, and clearly, obviously, it's a pretty clear Nimshal. What is referring to is Israel in the process of siege of the destruction of Yerushalayim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes how the remainder of Israel is going to be killed. There's some pretty terrible descriptions of the chai, the ra'av, the famine, the chai ra'av, the bad animals that are going to come and kill people, the dever, the dom, pestilence and blood, all the terrible things that are going to be happening to them at this point in time. So let's just go back. That's the actual perek. That's the summary of the actual content of the perek. Let's now go back for a moment and focus on a few aspects of this. So first of all, there is an interesting question which is asked, and that is that in the backdrop of this perek should be that actually this is actually a prohibited action. There is an iser, or it's called pa'as harosh, pa'as hazakan. You're not allowed to shave with a razor the beard. You're not allowed to shave five corners on the face. That a person's not allowed to shave directly. That's why when men shave, they don't use razors, they use shavers. Shavers are actually use a cutting action like a scissor rather than a blade action. That's, you're not allowed to use a blade directly on the face. And so that's an Isser, and there's an Isser on the head as well. One can't shave one's head bald. That's an Isser d'oraisa. The Torah talks about this. So one may be able to use a shaver, one cannot use a razor, one cannot cut the hair to a certain degree, certainly not around certain parts of the scalp. So how is this working? Is Hashem telling him to transgress Torah law here? We saw, by the way, that Gemara and Chagiga had said that one of the reasons they wanted to hide Sefer Yechezkel is that it has stiros to the Divrei Torah, contradictions to the words of Torah. This may be one of the examples where Yechezkel is doing something contrary to the Torah. So how does this work? So the Pashtus is that, yes, this was the Hora'as Shah. This is what Hashem said at this moment. He needs to demonstrate to the people a specific action, and this is the way Hashem is telling him to do it. So Hashem, who gave the law, is the one who's telling him to do this. Although that becomes a dangerous and slippery slope, because there are many messiahs who say the same thing. Many false messiahs who come along who say, like, you know, Shabtai Tzvi, when you start seeing them changing the laws and saying, this is what God told me to do, that's a red flag, and the Torah tells us that's a red flag. Which was what leads, actually, the Rambam Memorah Nevuchim and the Chesek and Chelek, the Radakovi had to say, this particular demonstration did not actually exist. This was a vision shown to him, that in his vision he was shaving his hair because it's not possible for him to be doing this. Just to be aware of that debate in the background at the beginning. What does it mean that he's spreading the hair, the third of the hair, in the city and the sword and the bird? So what seems to be the basic understanding of it is this is going back to demonstration number one. Remember that he had constructed this brick and engraved on Jerusalem. That had been his sort of model of what the Jerusalem is going to be. So he's burning, you know, the first third is going to be in the city. The next third is going to be around this brick. So that's the demonstration. What is the Nimshal? What does this actual message mean? So Radak says it's pretty simple, pretty clear. Well, we don't need too much rocket science over here. It's just talking about how the people are going to be cut off. This is sort of a level of hashchasa, of destruction. And so he's just using an example of sort of Yechezkel's hair as being the example of what the people are going to be. Whereas the Malbim says there might be even a more central meaning to this. He points out that there's bodily hair and there's facial hair. The bodily hair is sort of all over the body. And it itself is protected to the body, but it's very close to the body. When you look at a beard actually extends much further out than the regular bodily hair. And he says that potentially what we could talk about is two different groups of people. Bodily hair, so to speak, the parable of the Rishayim, or people who are not necessarily good, who Hashem allows close to him, allows close to, so to speak, Lahavdil, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's body, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, in order to preserve them. Then there are the Tzaddikim, we don't need to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because they extend outwards, they're almost an extension of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world because of what they represent, the Hadras Panim, the beauty of face of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what's being told over here to Yechezkel is both those who simply cling to the divine because they need life force, even though they don't deserve to demonstrate how beautiful they are, and those who really are that tzaddikim are all going to be killed in one foul swoop. It's going to be such a terrible devastation. This is where Malbim looks at a very fascinating insight into this over here. What all the Mepharshim debate is, well, who are these three groups? What's really going on over here? It seems pretty clear that the first group who are burnt in the city are the people killed during siege. The second group seems to be those killed during the battle and the final part of Yerushalayim. But the third group, those who are thrown into the wind and killed afterwards with the sword, that's a matter of debate. So the most basic level could be, it could be Tzidkiyahu, who tries to escape the siege of Yerushalayim, as we saw in Sefer Yirmiyahu, and he runs and he's captured by Jericho by the Dead Sea area. But it could also mean the Jews who afterwards went to Egypt, who didn't listen to Yirmiyahu and went into the exile in Egypt, and they thought they were too scared of the Babylonians after Gedaliah was murdered. It could also be that Barbanel says, and the Mitzvot points out, that it could be later on, the siege of Titus. It could be later on referring to future destructions that are going to be sent. And now Barbanel goes so far as to say, and he lists specific countries where the Jews went, and shamelessly and without accountability, the Jews have been killed and wiped out. And we're talking about over here, the Jewish blood over the centuries in every single country which we have suffered under is referred to in this prophecy about Ezariah el Aruach, that you're going to be sent to the wind and the sword is going to follow you. One last thing just to think about, and that is that you see in this kind of prophecy over here that we see a very harsh description over here. Yechezkel is living before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and the type of message he's giving is that it's imminent and it's almost as if it's not able to be changed. Whereas at this very same moment in Israel right now, Yirmiyahu is offering advice to Tzidkiyahu HaMelech. Tzidkiyahu, if you capitulate, if you give in and hand over the keys of Yerushalayim to the Babylonians, you'll be saved. Don't make an alliance with Egypt. Don't make an alliance with the countries around you, because you still can be saved. So they're giving two very different messages at the same moment. So the Da'at Mikra, which is edited, this volume is edited by Rav Yechiel Tzvi Moskovitz, printed by the Mossad of Cook, really just an incredible insight. The David Mikras says that Yirmiyahu is really trying to affect change because he's in a place where change can be affected. But Yechezkel has been in Golos for 5 years already. Yechezkel has already had 5 years of Golos. He's not expecting to get out of it. He's speaking to people who are not expecting to get out of Golos right at this point. And remember, what is his mission from Perek Beis? His message is to be a tzofeh. He's the sentinel. The point of the sentinel over here is not necessarily to change people, but to warn people so that they will have been warned, that they know that this is coming. So in a certain sense, Yechezkel and Yirmiyahu as colleagues are performing different missions. One, to desist, to create the people to move away from the sin. And Yechezkel to tell them that it's coming, you are warned. Two different messages at the same time, perhaps to two different audiences. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day.